This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you for the next hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I thought you were about to ask me what the title of that song was and call it, like,
no.
I don't know, like, something
like... Stairway to Heaven.
Like, stop.
No.
Stop.
Ah, music. Really brings everyone together.
So say,
except when
I
enter the room.
Do you know the title of that song? When you enter the room, everyone else leaves the room.
Do you know the title of that song?
I have no idea. I like the beat, though.
It's Rush. I know that. But I can't remember which Rush song it is.
It's Free Will by Rush.
That's what I thought it was. I, personally, not a huge Rush guy. All their songs kind of sound the same.
Stop with that.
They do.
Stop.
They do. Tom Sawyer, Free Will, Spirit of the Radio, all sound the same.
No.
I love Tom Sawyer. The best use of Tom Sawyer, though, was in Iron Claw. Did you ever watch that movie with Jeremy Allen White and
Zac Efron?
Yeah, it was the wrestling family.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Great montage song. Okay. Oh, so good. Great movie. You will cry.
Okay.
Like, definitively, you will cry.
Maybe I'll have to watch it. But yeah, no.
Very good.
Sorry, not a Rush guy. Anyway, I don't know.
Opinions on Rush. Yeah.
I don't know. Opinions. I don't like it. I don't know. It's just something about the synthesizer.
The synthesizer.
I don't even know if that's what it actually is, but it's just that sound. Some of the sounds are great. Like, like the guitars sound really cool sometimes, but I just can't. I don't know.
I get it.
I can't get into it.
I love how, like, you've been saying that. You just, like, keep looking down. You're like, I'm, like, a little embarrassed, but
well,
I'm not a Rush guy.
They're such a big band that I feel weird that I don't like them, but, like, I just don't like them. I don't know.
I don't know. I've been into Dire Straits recently.
Ooh.
Like, I've always liked them, but, like, now, like, driving home, like, I'll just throw that on. I'm like, yeah, this feels good, because you'll have some songs.
Sultans of Swing is
Sultans of Swing is iconic. But, like, sometimes you'll have, like, Brothers in Arms where you're like, this is, like, I'm going to extend this car ride. Like, I got to drive this out now.
Right. Like, whenever Freebird comes on, you have to drive until it's done.
Yeah, it's one of those songs, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You have to, like, if you're pulling up to your house, you're like, nope, we're going to do laps.
Yep, we're just going to sit in the car and hang out.
Yep. But I've been kind of into Dire Straits a little bit recently.
Hmm.
Just I'm liking the vibes.
You know something that's really popular around here right now?
Chapel Roan, as it should be.
Oh, well, no. Mr. Brightside.
Oh,
another electric performance of Mr. Brightside from the Bills team.
I found myself, so working the Bills games, I can hear how the stadium sounds even during the break, obviously, because Chris and Eric.
Right.
I can hear everything. And so Mr. Brightside goes on, and I can hear how loud the crowd is. I've come around to it. I like Mr. Brightside. It always felt like a weird song for, like, the team to kind of, like, grab onto, I guess.
Well, it's just one of those...
Like, it's like Gloria with the St. Louis Blues from a few
really
years ago.
Random.
Where you're like, I love the bop. Like, this is great.
Or Renegade with the Steelers.
Yeah. But Renegade, I can get behind. But Renegade gives sports vibes.
Yeah.
Brightside, like, and Gloria does not give sports, but they work.
But
they
Mr.
Really
Brightside is one of those party songs. Like, that's like a feel-good song. When it comes on at a party, you're just... Let's go. Like, it comes on at a wedding and everyone's out on the dance floor.
Everyone's bumping when Mr. Brightside comes out, which is weird.
I just love...
It's not a very happy song.
No, don't listen to the lyrics. Just listen to
listen to the lyrics.
Just listen to the vibe. But no, I mean, like, the vibes around that when the Bills start, you know, just whatever, performing, I guess, if you want to call it that.
I mean, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are clearly performing.
They are. They put on a performance.
They're in a concert of almost 80,000 people every Sunday. It's fantastic.
And they're the performers.
And they're the stars. it's so much fun. And yet, hear that crowd. And this is right after the Allen touchdown. And man, it sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where, like, I got goosebumps the whole thing. And that's, I think, too, my big thing, and maybe where I was, like, waxing and waning on the excitement level of this game, is I knew I wasn't going. Like, I was going to work the game, which is fine. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But then, like, hearing that crowd there, and I'm like, that would become a core memory. I know for a fact that would become a core memory.
I was at the Jaguars game earlier this year, and there was a nothing game.
Yep.
Didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, and the Bills blew them out. But when that came on and that started happening, I was like, this is incredible. Because that was the first time they did it. Like, really, the first time it, like, caught on. And I just have that, remember, like, I was there, and it was like, that was a cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you're right. It's like a core memory type of thing. And especially, and sure, it's happened since then, but the Chiefs game specifically, or if that happens in the playoffs, let's say, like, let's say, you know, Pittsburgh comes here and the Bills are beating them up and it's the third quarter and it's basically done. And then that starts playing. Everyone's, this is great.
It's apocalyptic again. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I had a similar feeling going to my first Longhorns game. They played Florida. They blew them out, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to start the game hearing 100,000 people all chant "OU sucks," I was there. I was like, here we go.
I'm ready to go.
And so, yeah, like, that's one of those things too. And you're at that game. The vibes are there. I was out in the morning in Orchard Park getting breakfast with my girlfriend at the time at the time of the morning. And just seeing, like, all of the Bills fans all dressed in their gear, a few Chiefs fans as well. But, like, you could tell the vibes were a little different. I was like, all right. I've come around to how important this is, even if, like, they don't get the one seed. Or this alone, being that the CBS crew is all there and everything that they – like, you know, Jim Nance talking about how it's Manning and Brady. And I think early on it has been better than Brady Manning.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that we're
– it's closer.
It's closer.
Because Brady Manning was so one-sided in the very beginning.
Between the two of them, the difference has been Mahomes has gotten all the accolades.
Mm-hmm.
Where for Brady Manning, it was the split. Brady got all the team awards. Manning got the MVPs
and the
regular season stats. Where, you know, both of them are getting regular season stats here. Mahomes has gotten the MVPs already, and he's gotten the Super Bowls. Now we're starting to see if Allen, under this new era that they have, can maybe even the score. But in the regular season now, it's become pretty regular that the Bills will beat them in the regular season. And that's the thing, too. I wonder if you're a Chiefs fan, let's say they meet again in January. We know how we feel if they beat them. Euphoric. If the Bills beat the Chiefs in the postseason, I know the Chiefs have two Super Bowls already. You're not going to take that away. And I get that that's going to last a little while. But I wonder if on their side of things, if it all of a sudden becomes, okay, like, we knew that was the team. That is now the team that is standing in our way of more. Is that they now, because there's probably also a feeling the same, like, with, you know, Steve Young gets, you know, his Super Bowl over the Chargers, monkey off my back. There's probably going to be a feeling of, for Chiefs fans of, oh, they finally did it. Oh, no.
Right, and then it's the floodgates open now, and it's going to be like this every year, or is it going to be this back and forth?
They're coming back next year, most likely. Or I think they're definitively coming back next year, most likely in 26.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're all of a sudden, we're going to flip the tape, or we're going to flip the script, too, in terms of, like, for years it felt like they were never coming here. Now all of a sudden it'll be potentially a long time before we go back to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Unless
the one seed goes to Kansas City and we do have to go back there.
Right.
But yeah.
Or unless it's a, you know, like the schedule dictates that the Bills go there or something.
Well, yeah, but for the next few years, it'll be they come here.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's going to be the thing. It might be a while, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, playoffs depending. Could be a while before the Bills have to go back to Arrowhead. But, yeah, I mean, them being 9-2 this year has made that a lot more exciting to talk about, not just the present, but the future as well. Go back to your tweets here as we're talking expectations for the Bills, again, sitting at 9-2. Looking back at the summer, have they met your expectations? And if not, where do they need to improve? Of course, always taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Steve tweets in, with all the new faces, they have exceeded my expectations. Every year is a different team, and we have a lot of new players and new coordinators. To be 9-2, learning who you are is great, and I feel like they're coming together when it really matters. I fully agree on that last point, especially, I think, because they're also getting healthier when it matters. It's great to be healthy in the first month or two of the season. It's also great to be like 4-0, 5-0, but it's better to be 9-2 and getting healthier and kind of figuring everything out down the stretch. Again, we've brought up even on the offense too, they've scored 30 points in their last five games, including against the Chiefs, a team that had been holding teams under 28 points for like 38 straight games. I mean, that was their calling card, was how good they were on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue the Bills, because of how bad they were on first down, if they were a little bit better on some of these first downs, maybe they're not punting in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a team that's putting up 34, 38 points on a Chiefs team And I don't want to play the what if game, but let's say the miscommunication isn't missed on Allen to Knox.
Yeah.
And Knox keeps running and he hits him for stride. That's a first down. Do they score there? The Chiefs score on that interception.
Right.
Or off that interception.
I'm
not saying it's a blowout, but it's maybe different.
I don't think it's like terrible to play that what if game in this scenario, because you look at the things that the Bills did, and it wasn't like these glaring errors. It was like these super minor things that had one or two things flipped. It's a blowout game. Whereas in some cases, you can say that you sit and you play the what if game, and it's like, oh, if all this different stuff happens, then they score one more touchdown.
Yep.
But it's literally just like one or two throws, the interception and Knox, and then running it on first down a couple too many times. Like that's all.
I think he short armed one to Samuel this week too. That I'm remembering.
I don't remember that one. I'm not sure. But I think because he was coming back to it, he couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't matter because I think the next play,
potentially,
something else happened in their favor or something like that. But again, it's this one game that every year you circle it, regardless of how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lived up to that for sure. But now it's, with what happened in this game, what's going to be in the playoffs if you do meet in the playoffs? Do you think it's going to be the same, or do you think with the Chiefs getting healthy and with the Bills getting healthy too? But
I think that's the key, I wonder, both of these teams are getting healthier.
Yeah, but I wonder how much does that actually change them? Because early in the season, before the Chiefs got hurt, they were playing the same style of play, and Mahomes was having problems.
I think that is a really good question. I think that's really interesting with the Chiefs specifically. Yes, they have Hopkins now. Hopkins is making good plays. They still have Worthy. But even when they had Rashee Rice, who was putting up number one kind of numbers, he was awesome. They were still struggling on offense. There's no explosive plays on the outside. Hollywood Brown probably changed that a little bit, right? I do not want to take away what his abilities were. He was a very good receiver for Baltimore. Not great, but very good. But he's also coming off a lower body injury. How good is he going to be right away? I also don't totally know they're going to get him back in the playoffs. There's a feeling they will.
It's a hope and a feeling, yeah.
It's not definitive. Like, the Bills know they're going to get Matt Milano back. His practice window is open. He's practicing. If not, he's going to IR. His season is done.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
We don't know, though, if Hollywood Brown is coming back. And even if he does, I think that is a really interesting thought on, does it really ultimately change who they are? They have struggled for 2 years now on offense and being explosive. What helped them last year? Always great in situational plays, namely third downs, fourth downs. Travis Kelce reemerged. Travis Kelce inexplicably became Hall of Fame Travis Kelce again for like a 4-game span. We're already seeing it's not really happening. He had, what, 2 catches for 9 yards against the Bills?
To be fair, they did shut him down. They played very well. And the other thing I noticed, and it might have only been for a couple plays, but you remember last week how Belichick, that breakdown he had.
He's talking about spies and stuff like that.
Spies and stuff. Dorian Williams was in that role for a bit of the game. I only saw it a couple times, and I don't know how regular it was, but he was there, and I think that was a big part of it, because Dorian Williams, we've seen so far, in his short career here, he's got the athletic ability, but he doesn't fully have the IQ there yet of where to be and when to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But the athletic ability makes up for that. Now, it makes up for it only to a certain extent. But when you're in the role of being the quarterback spy like that, you can just kind of hang out and let your athletic ability take over. You don't have to kind of guess where to go.
Yeah.
When you're in coverage and everything, it's a lot different. But I think that was almost the perfect role to put him in for this game. And again, I don't remember how much he actually was in that role for points in the game. But I do remember seeing it specifically a few times on crucial plays. And one of them being, I think, when Cam Lewis almost had that interception, when it kind of goes through his fingers.
I wanted that so
Williams
bad for
was
him.
Williams was right there on the line moving towards Mahomes as somebody else is coming up on Mahomes' back. And it's that was the perfect recipe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you saw night play after play in that game, why there was almost more than two interceptions, I think. I mean, that the two interceptions were very uncharacteristic from Patrick Mahomes, but if you look at what he's done this season so far, mm-hmm. that's kind of what he's been doing.
That actually has been very characteristically right.
Over
Patrick Mahomes.
For his whole career, it's mm-hmm. very uncharacteristic. But for this season, it's, yep, that's what he's expected to do.
He has not looked right all year. I think a lot of it, too, their tackles are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Wanya Morris looked bad.
Everything you heard about them going into that game was correct.
Yeah. I mean, there was the sack that Von Miller had where Ed Oliver comes in over the top at the end. I mean, that's – I get one guy getting through to your – like, because this is a mm-hmm. team – again, this is probably different for other teams, but this is a team where you never get to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Ever in the past few seasons. And now all of a sudden you have not one but two guys getting there. And that's happened. That happened multiple times on Sunday night. And that's – again, it doesn't sound that impressive, but for them it sounds unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how good they've been. And that's something where it's partially a big credit to Bill's defensive line stepping up because they've been a little shaky the past few weeks, but they got there. But it's also a detriment to, you know, hey, that Chiefs offensive line has suffered and it's starting to show.
It is not a good unit. Right now, it
cohesive.
Is not a good unit.
You look at them compared to the Bills and it's the Bills, sure, they have many more years on some of those guys, but it's, you don't have that chemistry, and you can tell.
I mean, they just need to be better at both right and left tackle, which mm-hmm. is very, very hard to do, especially you're drafting later on in the first round, so you're not going to get that elite tackle
that
maybe
where...
can change your offensive line in year one,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of – they're in a tough spot there. They're still fantastic. I don't really want to downplay them.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Have I been waiting for them to lose so I can criticize them? Absolutely, and I will never apologize for that.
But you also have to think back to, remember, we've had so many conversations about them identifying wide receiver talent in the draft.
Yeah, and how abysmal it is.
Right, and now we're starting to see maybe, hey, is it spreading to other positions? Is it a problem in the whole grand scheme of things?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, the jury's still out. It's way too early to
say
something.
And they do keep
like
winning.
Right, they do keep winning, which is the important part. But it's not like they're not winning with players like how the Bills are. The Bills are getting guys like a Osiris Torrance, who, sure, he fell to you in the second round, but you still get him in the second round. Or more specifically, I'm blanking on his name.
I mean, they did do it with Creed Humphrey, though.
They did. You're right.
I mean,
Christian Benford. That's
Christian
what
Benford. Yep.
I mean, there's guys like Christian Benford where it's
they've got guys as well. They've hit. I think it's just mm-hmm. it's been at certain positions, crucial positions,
right,
that have hurt them. And again, they got really. I don't want to downplay Super Bowl. They got very lucky though last year. Again, you get a Miami team that literally just physically can't play in the cold. They are just completely immune to it. You get a Buffalo team that was wounded to all hell on the defense, specifically a linebacker, allowed your tight end, Hall of Fame tight end, to just completely go off. And then you play a Baltimore team that inexplicably decides, hey, you know how we're a running team? Scrap that. We're throwing the ball, and they never stopped. And then you play Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. Like, that kind of works. That helps. It also helps when you play Jimmy Garoppolo in a Super Bowl. I don't want to take anything away from him because I think that's ridiculous. Because if the Bills win a Super Bowl off, like, an easy run or anything, even if the Bills had beaten Jeff Hostetler in a Super Bowl, no one cares.
Right.
Like, you got the championship. But I think it is fair to bring up that, like, there are missing pieces there. They are not perfect. They have to play perfect, though, now to win games. or they are not play perfect overall. They have to be perfect in situations to win games. I don't know how their 52% on third down is going to keep up. I just don't. Because they're not running the ball all that particularly well. Their tackles can give up a lot of pressure. So if it's not second and like two, they could have a real big problem. And I also think the Bills matched up really well with them. I think that was a big positive. Sure. The Bills could attack their man coverage really, really well with Amari Cooper, with Curtis Samuel, with Khalil Shakir. And you have Josh Allen as your quarterback.
I was about to say, yeah. That and helps you have everything. Allen's legs, that was a big, big key towards the end there. I mean, especially because of the fact that that touchdown was the last touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I will tell you, I'm going to have a blast now watching them the rest of the way this season. If the Denver loss had happened the week prior, this would be so much more exciting. I think even coming into this week or that weekend, it would have been more exciting because it would have been the feeling of you get them here, you're the one seed. And they've dropped two in a row. Are they floundering? Are they falling apart? What have you? Now they get to play Carolina. If they lose to them, that's one of the upsets of the year. I think it's already 11-point favorites. 11-point favorites for Kansas City. Vegas, they should probably beat them as well. So they're picking up two wins there. It doesn't get interesting until the Chargers for Sunday Night Football on December 8th. That should be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to be Chargers watching with intensity now.
The Chargers are anti-chargering. They're not blowing games anymore. They're not falling apart.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh has been doing good work there so far.
Told you, man. It's what Harbaugh does. It's what he does.
He's the quick fix.
I'm surprised how quick it's been.
Yeah.
But even
fixed Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean,
he's regressed a little bit.
They're getting anything out of him, which is surprising.
Before it was next to nothing.
But, I mean, you look at the Chargers, though, too. I'm not afraid of them yet this year. I think they are still a little bit far away because I think the Bills can handle Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnston, like this versions of them. Maybe in 2-3 years, no. But these versions, I think they can handle. I think Herbert as well also has some erratic moments where he goes from, you know, in the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes territory to then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're Daniel Jones. Got it. Like, it's too much back and forth with him. But Harbaugh is sort of, he's stopping the pendulum so much. And they're finding their medium. They're running the ball a little bit more. Obviously, Greg Roman's their OC, but their game against Cincinnati, I think maybe was both like the most Charger game ever, but then the most anti-Charger game ever, because they ultimately were able to win that game. They ultimately finished the job, which is something the Chargers have not been able to do for a long time. Big reason why Herbert doesn't even have a playoff win yet is because they go to Jacksonville, they get up huge on them, picking off Trevor Lawrence, absolutely doing whatever they want. And then chargering happens, as the phrase goes.
Yeah.
And it felt like that game against Cincinnati, you could argue that was the end of it. They have an adult at head coach. And not just an adult, but one of the better head coaches in the sport, both college and NFL. Look at what Michigan is like without him and J.J. McCarthy.
Disaster.
They might make a bowl game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. They're not even in the top 25.
Nope, they were undefeated last year. They were an undefeated national champion last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of dominated their whole way without even a ton of NFL quote-unquote guys. They have NFL guys now.
Yeah.
Namely on the defensive line. Some of their cornerbacks as well look like NFL guys. But they have not met expectations. That could be due to head coach. I think absolutely it is with how good Harbaugh is and how good J.J. McCarthy was at quarterback. Now you're seeing what he's doing with the Chargers in like year one.
Not even the full way through year one.
Yeah. I want to talk more in the AFC East here, and we'll do that in the next segment. But like, just looking down the road a little bit, I like what Sean Payton has done with Bo Nix. Yeah. I really like what they have been able to put together early.
How long is it sustainable for Sean Payton though?
I think very sustainable.
Yeah,
I think you look at how long he was. Look, I think he can be arrogant. I think all these head coaches kind of have to be. But I think if they're winning, I think that's very sustainable, especially now that he's figured it out with Bo Nix, and that seems to be really working, like that chemistry, that duo.
Yeah, they definitely do have stuff to work out still, but I wonder...
I would tell you how long does it work would be more appropriate for Harbaugh, because he does seem to burn too hot, and teams do get sick of him.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan was kind of sick of him for a while, or their AD was kind of sick of him for a while. It was just they were winning, so it was tough to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. At least, I think that's how it was. It was either the current AD or former AD, but there were, I remember Paul Feinbaum, who covers college football for ESPN, always kind of talking about like, there's
tension
there.
Yeah.
And a lot of that probably also, he was constantly courting NFL teams every offseason. Yeah.
Every offseason, it was, are we going to need a new head coach? Because is he going to leave? Oh, he's
like,
not.
Oh, no, he's Jim's back. Okay, cool.
Oh, wait, no, he's, oh, no, he's, okay, he's going to stay.
The Vikings said no. Oh, no. Well, thanks for coming back. It's very, very weird.
But, it is a weird relationship.
But I think with Sean Payton, it can go for a little while. But I look at those, the Chargers and the Broncos, I think, I don't want to say it yet because I was pretty aggressive on it with Herbert and Russell Wilson getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might finally be seeing the AFC West, though, catching up to Kansas City. Maybe not definitively to where they're going to maybe steal the division, but they're going to make them work for it harder.
That's fair, yeah.
Because for years, Kansas City has just kind of done whatever they want. The division is wrapped up by like week 12.
It's very much what's going on in the AFC East now.
Yeah.
But I was going to stop you because I didn't want, I don't think there's going to be any team that wins the AFC West in the next 3 years. I really don't. 3 years is like the limit, though.
I don't know.
3 years is the limit. It depends on what happens with the Chiefs and how they build the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. But looking at what is happening with the Broncos specifically, they will be a problem for the Chiefs in 2 to 3 years. They already kind of are. I mean, they didn't beat them 2 weeks ago, but came down to a block field.
They were there.
They were right there.
They should have won that game.
And again, it's not going to be they're rivaling them for the division, but the next couple years for the Broncos are crucial for getting that step, those 10 steps back from the Chiefs.
Yeah. I really like, especially where they're at with their rookie quarterback. I'm not going to call him young.
Yeah.
It's like 40. The Chargers are at with Harbaugh and Herbert. I think that's exciting.
Like you just brought up, though, if Harbaugh wears out his welcome fast, mm-hmm. that could cause issues, but that's yet to be seen. And the Raiders are hopeless, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
Brock Bowers is cool. It's about it. Brock Bowers isn't just cool. He's
insane.
He's the best receiving tight end maybe in football, like already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, he's good. 803-0550, the number two call. Talking Bills expectations up to this point for the season. Have they met them, or do they have a little bit more to go? And what would you like to see them do better? Do, though, want to jump in on the AFCs? Because I think that has absolutely played a part in how the Bills have been able to get out to such a lead. We'll dive into that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here until 12 o'clock on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.